Hey everybody, welcome to Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of the tarot to answer your burning questions. This person that's talking right now is Brian Dooley, a normal co-host of this show. And this person...
Hey everyone.
...is not a normal co-host.
No, I'm not.
You guys know how Ben hates doing anything related to this show? Well, he decided to bail out this week too. Just kidding, he had some stuff to do. But in his place, I have my wonderful friend Seth Schroeder, and he is here to make everything awesome.
Yeah, very excited about this.
So welcome, Seth. Seth has recently started messing around with the tarot, and that makes him as much of an expert as either of us ever have been. So welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I have just a random assortment of experiences, but overall, I just think they're really cool cards.
And that's how they get you.
Yeah.
That's how they draw you in.
Mm.
So we're not going to do anything really different this week except have two hosts that care about it instead of just one, I guess, is the only difference this week. And so I want to go ahead and talk about the spread that we do. There's a lot of different tarot spreads, but we don't bother to learn those. They're very complicated and a lot of different meanings, a lot of different stuff going on. Since we're wholly unqualified, the spread we use consists of three cards. And those cards, in the order in which we draw them, indicate, Seth, do you know?
The past, present, and future.
That's right. The recent past, current actions, and future outcomes. And then after we do Querence Corner, we will have a card of the week for everybody that didn't get their question answered this week. So Ben and I usually talk about some stuff.
Oh, okay. So, like just life stuff? Or
yeah, is there anything you want to talk about?
Oh, man. I'm going to Chicago this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm bringing my cards with me. My friends that I'm traveling with asked me to bring them with me, and I don't know why, because I didn't think that they liked tarot cards. They're very skeptical people, even though I explained to them, like, I'm not doing this for any sort of mystical reason. I just think it's cool, and it's a cool storytelling device and a way to frame your thoughts on something, but I'll have them along.
And what deck do you have?
I've got the Wildwood Tarot deck, which I really enjoy. It's got a lot of cool artwork with pagan and nature spirits on it. It's a little bit different than, I think, the regular decks. The suits are a little bit different. Some of the major arcana are remarkably different, which I think gets you a kind of a different interpretation of the reading. So I've just been... usually just giving a single card to whoever I'm giving a reading and then trying to go in depth about it with them. And that's how I've been practicing.
Okay. Well, for the card of the week this week, maybe we'll use your deck and we'll have you do that, because that's essentially what the card of the week reading is.
Sure. That sounds good.
All right. Well, without any further ado, let's jump into Querence Corner.
So our question this week comes from Denny, and he's wondering, how can he quit drinking?
Wow, so, that's a big one. That's,
yeah, pretty serious right. question.
Well, let's go ahead and see what the cards have to say. Mm-hmm. If you'll do the honor, and Ben usually does the Foley work on the flips, and so if I can just hear what it sounds like if you flip a card.
Okay.
You just say flip.
Oh, flip.
That was pretty good. Now I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Flip? Which one do you think was better?
I have no idea.
Well, we've got to choose. We have to know.
Well, okay. Since I'm going to try one more time.
Okay.
Flip.
All right.
Okay, I don't know.
And then I'll go again.
Uh-huh.
Flip?
Hmm.
Call in if you have a preference.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The phones aren't ringing.
Yeah, well...
I guess we'll go with yours.
Okay, sounds good. Leave your comments below if you think we chose the wrong flip sound effect.
But we didn't. We always choose the right sound effect because the cards are always right.
All right.
So go ahead and flip over our recent past card.
Okay. Flip.
Oh, the Magician. Mm-hmm. You have a particular fondness for this card, don't you?
Yeah, because I think during the first reading that I ever had done, which was with you, we did a more complicated spread as maybe practice, but this card ended up representing me, and I really appreciated it. So I've always had kind of an affinity for this card. And what the Magician usually represents is the accumulation of knowledge or even psychic power or energy, and using that to interact with the physical world. So it's definitely a connection between the world of consciousness and the material world. And it represents usually self-confidence as well.
In its position in the recent past here, it would seem to be saying that you have the knowledge that you need in order to move from thought to deed. Mm-hmm. If the thought is already there that you need to quit drinking, to quit using this particular substance, then you have the tools. You have prepared yourself for this point, even if you're not aware of it just yet. Anything else to add to that?
Yeah, and I guess the artwork with this card usually shows the Magician at a table, and he's got symbols from each of the suits. So a sword, a cup, a pentacle, and a wand, sort of indicating that he's bringing all of those forces together in preparation of the work that he's about to do. So it's usually a combination of experiences or mental tools that you have that will come together in order for you to act on your desired outcome.
Great. Let's go ahead and move to the next card.
All right. Flip.
All right. I should mention that this is the first time we're using the Aquarian deck. It's mm-hmm. another new deck that I have. It's really cool Art Nouveau style art. Deco?
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I studied art briefly in college. I don't have the words for it, but the colors are really rich and just creates this stark contrast between light and colorful objects.
If you can imagine that the entire tarot was made by whoever did the art direction for The Man Who Fell to Earth, kind of that way. It feels very much Bowie in that phase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very Bowie-esque artwork. And so for this draw, we got the Nine of Rods. So this deck is a little bit different in that it has rods instead of wands, but they essentially represent the same thing and are usually illustrated pretty similarly throughout the decks. Just a different word.
Yeah, that's what made me think of the fact that we're using a new deck. Is mm-hmm. we got those rods.
Right. And so the Nine of Rods, sort of similar to our Magician card, represents an inner strength that you have that's usually crystallized or developed through oppression around you.
Yeah, there's been a conflict that you've been involved in. There's been some sort of battle that you've survived, and now you're here. Possibly just through sheer strength of will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like the card isn't necessarily representing you in a safe position where some of those hardships or difficulties are still very much present in your life. But the main difference here is that you are prepared to deal with them. Like, this isn't your first battle with them, and you have, again, the strength within you to walk through them, survive them, maybe even thrive through them as well.
All right. So that's our present card. Let's go ahead and flip over our future outcome card.
Flip.
Oh, the Nine of Swords. Another nine. This is the Nightmare card.
Mm.
It's about anxiety and despairing, And it's not a super happy card. It is a card about loss, particularly perceived loss.
Mm-hmm. I think this card typically has to do with immediate loss. So not even moving on to the stage of mourning that loss yet, but loss that is currently happening. So in the future, it's maybe losses that you will have to endure. And with any change in your life, there's always going to be something that you lose, because that's what happens when you gain something, is you've still only got so much room in your life for so many things. So sometimes it requires you to give things up as well.
So let's kind of go back and look at this. Let's reframe it with the question altogether, now that we know what all three cards are, and let's see kind of what story the cards are telling for us.
Right. So, again, going back with our recent past being the Magician, I think here what this is telling us is that if you're looking to quit drinking, and maybe you're not certain about how to start, maybe you haven't started because you're afraid of what that might mean or what you have to encounter, this indicates that you as a person have already gained the tools that you need to in order to take this on. So while it might be something you're afraid of doing, I think it usually means that you need to trust yourself that you can do this, that you are enough in order to handle this situation. And your past experiences are going to be what helps you through this potentially upcoming very difficult trial.
And then that takes us to our middle card, the Nine of Rods, that says you've gone through some stuff already, mm-hmm. which agrees with the Magician card. You've been preparing, and you're ready to make the final stand against these challenges. You're ready to do the things that you're trying to do. And it's not going to be simple. It's not going to be easy. But it is an accomplishable goal because you've set yourself up, because of the work that you did in the past with the Magician, and because of the battle that you currently fought right now with the Nine of Rods. You're there. You're ready to go.
And one of the things that I like about this card, the Nine of Rods, has to do with the artwork, which we didn't touch on earlier. But the expression of the man's face in this card, it's not a happy expression. He looks kind of sullen. But what I like is that he's surrounded by a field of rods that are taller than him. They're in his way. They're at almost every angle. But he's not really paying attention to them. He's got his eyes in front of him, almost ignoring them, on his own path. So I think, you know, this, it's again, what Brian is saying is it's not easy, but you have the ability to look past the hardships and just focus on your path, knowing what you need to do.
And then that takes us to the future outcome, the Nine of Swords. And a lot of times this is, we would joke around about this being a dark kind of thing, but it is a dark kind of thing. And this is a more serious question. And so I just want to treat it with the respect that it deserves. What you're asking isn't easy, and you do end up giving things up, or at least the perception of losing things, when you make a major life change like this. So there may be people in your life that you're afraid of losing if you stop drinking. There may be experiences that you're afraid you can't have because you stop drinking. And there may be an associated loss of self when you don't have that to lean on anymore. And these are all valid things to have anxiety about. These are all valid fears, and probably will cause some sleepless nights. But you have to be able to recognize that the things that you give up in the short term are going to be for greater yield in the long term. So the future isn't all sunshine and unicorns, but it's also not rods anymore either. Nobody's going to be attacking you.
Right. I think when sword cards are usually associated with some kind of dark transition like this, they're usually perceived as being the cause of it, that the sword is doing you harm. But here, the swords are in the air and they're hovering over this woman who's clearly suffering through loss. And they're leading almost towards the direction of the future with how we have the cards laid out. So I think in this case, it's almost more like they are pointing the way or leading you forward and are helping cut away things that you don't need in order to live the life that you really need to live.
So overall, a productive story, a productive read, not necessarily the super hilariousest one that we've ever had, but it's not always about being funny, which is good because oftentimes Ben and I are not funny at all. That's just something that our viewers have to suffer through. Thank you, Denny. Thank you for being the queerant in this week's Queerants Corner. And how did you feel doing your first reading on live radio? Which this isn't, by the way, live radio.
It's not live radio, no. Right. So I haven't done that yet. Yeah. But it felt good. I'm always drawn a lot with the artwork of cards, so I like trying to bring that a bit more to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. You're so much better than Ben. Ben hates the cards. Ben
hates them?
The readings.
Well, the cards don't like to be hated. Like, maybe they don't like Ben then.
I try and tell him that.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, they're just cards.
Well, I brought my cards with me to, I mean, they are just cards, but they're very cool cards. But I brought them with me to a music festival I went to recently, which was great to give a bunch of hippies readings. It was very fun. But I almost didn't bring them because I was very worried about what might happen to them while I was there.
Like physically what might happen
physically what might happen to the cards. Because it's like all this artwork's so cool and they're super well-made things. And I would hand people the cards and then explain things to them. And every time I did, I was like, ugh. Just worried about, like, well, for one thing, everyone is super muddy at these types of things. And then you don't always know the person you're talking to. But, I mean, overall, everyone's there to have a good time. No one wants to ruin the mood. So
did anything happen to your deck?
No, not really.
No?
No, I think they probably... I mean, they got broken in more, like they're still in your deck, so they're probably flexed a little bit more, but that's got to happen in order to do anything with cards, really.
Yeah, last week we did the Robin Wood deck.
Yeah.
And something that happened to that deck was my cat dumped the whole deck into a bucket of mop water.
Oh.
And so I had to like spread them all out all over my desk. So that deck was a brand new deck and now looks like an antique deck.
Well, I suppose there's something to that now. Which cat was it?
It's always Han Solo.
Always Han Solo. He's a troublemaker.
Always does the bad things.
Mm, that makes sense.
Lando sometimes gets in the way and is super jumpy, but Han Solo does the really bad things on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. That seems to fit the names that you've given them.
Yeah.
Right.
They really leaned into those.
Good for them. It's good to have a strong identity, even if you're a cat.
Well, let's take this opportunity to go ahead and move into our card of the week. So, the card of the week is a card that for everyone, including our queerant, but mainly, not mainly anything, anyone who's listening, anybody within the sound of my voice, is able to use the card of the week as kind of a guidepost, as kind of something to look out for throughout the week. And so we're going to go ahead and have our honored guest go ahead and flip over the card of the week.
Flip.
The Seven of Cups.
All right.
I like the Seven of Cups. I like, we've had it before, and I like that there's all this good stuff in the cups and also a cup full of snake.
Yeah, I don't think I've done much with this card before, but as soon as that I've read about it, I can definitely relate to it, because it has to do with having a very active imagination and having all of these mental, emotional resources, but being unable to tie them together into maybe a bigger result or a more active outcome. So it's almost like a pre-magician, I feel like, in that way, where you have all these resources, but they haven't been connected. So with the artwork, we've got seven cups, and yeah, each cup has a different thing in it, and most of them are good. There is one with a snake.
There's one with a human head.
Yeah, there's one with a human head. I don't know if he's trapped in the cup or if he's
coming out of the cup or if that head is decapitated.
Yeah, yeah. Not so sure about that. One has a rainbow in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the rainbow is great. So there are all these things isolated within these cups, and I feel like they're not at a stage, like they need to be poured together and almost mixed up to create some new result. Sort of like how the magician, he's got all his stuff on the same table.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
Yeah, he's ready to work. And here we've got all these isolated things, and you need to find ways to bring those things together in order to create bigger results. So you as a person probably have a vast, fascinating collection of experiences and skills. And in order to become a more active participant in your life, you have to find ways to link them together, because that's what makes you unique. No one else has had the collection of experiences you have. So what I like about the rainbow is that it starts in the cup, but it's arching outward, mm-hmm. sort of indicating that this process has maybe already started.
Yeah, it goes like out off the card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so does this. There's another cup that seems to have some kind of helmet with cords connecting to it.
It is cool.
It's super cool. It seems kind of out of place with some of the rest of the deck, because it seems almost sci-fi-ish.
It makes me want to look at the rest of the deck. This is the first time I'm using this deck at all. Mm-hmm. And so possibly there's other dystopian sci-fi type pictures in there. Mm-hmm. And that would make me very happy.
Yeah, that would make this deck even cooler than it already is. So
I would say that this week you should be on the lookout for ways that you can seize on your imagination and your dreams and your experiences and find different ways to combine those. And you do need to, part of this card is indicating that you need to make choices, that mm-hmm. you need to pick what's real from what's not real. But I think that the reading that Seth is giving it is also about using all of these disparate elements and combining them into something super, super meaningful. So find ways to kind of pull things from different areas of your life and make another area of your life even better because of it.
Yeah. Like, how can your hobby help you out at work, or vice versa? Maybe there are some skills there that could be applied.
My hobby helps me out at work because I like to nap and watch television.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, never mind.
You don't feel like that helps you out?
My hobby is doing all my work and making sure that everything is completely good and that I'm earning my paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my hobby, and I think that it will help me out at work. I'm going to start using that.
Yeah.
Good call, Seth.
No problem. No problem.
That was a close one.
Oh, there was something else I was going to say about this card. Just lost it. Oh, think outside the cups. That was it. Just a really stupid line I thought of.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're going to fit in well here, kid.
Great.
Okay, well, so this is the time in the show where we start thanking people. I want to thank Denny for sending in the question for Queerance Corner.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank all of the listeners who week after week trudge through this and try and find little nuggets of wisdom. And so thanks for that. I hope that we keep making you laugh and keep making you think. And I also want to thank Seth for being here. Seth, where can people find you if they want to find out more about you and more about what you're doing?
Oh, well, my main creative project right now is an organization called Campfire. It's a St. Louis-based organization. We've got a website that is Campfire without any vowels. So it's cmpfr.com. And we are a storytelling organization that tries to democratize wisdom, is the buzzword we're currently throwing around right now. And we've got events once a month, usually. Check out our website and see when the next one is, and stop by. It's a completely free event. I am almost always at them, except for one. And so you can find me there, and you can ask me about cards or fires or other storytelling things.
Or camping.
Camping, probably. I've, you know, not like the best, but like I can help you set up a tent.
Out of the people in this room, you are 100% the one who has gone camping.
Yes.
And I would be 100% someone who has not gone camping.
Have you never gone camping?
When I was a little kid, we used to go, and I guess it was camping. Mainly, it was just playing with G.I. Joes in a creek instead of playing with G.I. Joes in my room.
Okay. Well, that's fun. Pro camping tip that I recently discovered at my last camping trip, which is when I brought my tarot cards to this music festival, is don't use a fucking air mattress, because they just deflate in the middle of the night and are not very useful for that. Instead, buy a $5 pool raft from Walmart, which is what I did.
Yeah.
And it did not deflate in the middle of the night, and it was very comfortable for essentially sleeping on the ground, but having, you know, a vertical horizontal balloon between you and dirt.
Well, pro tips from Seth.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep listening and Seth co-hosts again, then you can look forward to more camping pro tips. So that's just
maybe
another.
I feel like that was my one.
Well, you better get to
crap.
Get to cranking them out.
All right. All right.
You can find us all the time at amateurtarot.com. You can email us your questions at amateurtarotreading@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @tarotamateur. You can find us on Instagram @amateurtarot. You can find me @ZenIronMan on Twitter if you really like to see retweets about political stuff and stuff about doggos. And you can find Ben at his website at imakingallthisup.com. As always, please, please, please rate and review us on iTunes. It doesn't cost anything, and it helps us out a lot. It'd be great if we could be the number one podcast in the world. Just once, guys.
Yeah.
Can you just do this once?
Can you just be cool?
You used to be so cool.
They're still pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess.
They take their time out of their day to listen to us.
That's true. Our viewers listen either in the car on the way to work, while they're washing dishes, or while they're walking the dog. These are the things that Ben ascribes to podcast listeners.
Oh. Huh. When I listened, I was just sitting on this couch that we're sitting on now.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I wasn't doing any of those things.
That's pretty intense listening. I always listen when I'm in my car.
Oh.
So.
I'm really just fine with just listening to music. Like, I've had friends try and pitch podcasts heavily to me because I have a half-hour commute one way.
Mm-hmm. I have almost an identical commute.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. And people are like, oh, well, if you're listening to music, all you're doing is having fun. You're not learning anything. And I was like, why do I have to be productive every second of every day? So.
That's a good point. Don't listen to them, guys.
Oh, yep. Whoops. I mean, only listen to podcasts.
Always listen to podcasts.
Specifically this one. Music is dead. It's dying art form. Podcasts are the future.
And speaking of music, I want to give a shout out to Hug Monster Sound. Thank you for putting together our intro and outro music and our little stingers in between. We would not have music without you. So thank you so much. And if you are in the St. Louis area, or I guess anywhere, since music, a dying art, is...
Their music isn't dying, though. No. I'm walking back that statement.
But it's available anywhere. If you wanted to get in touch with them, it's hugmonstersound.com. They do music production. They do podcast production. They do all kinds of voiceover work. They are amazing as far as aural stimulation goes. I hope I pronounce that right, because the word as I pronounce it sounds exactly like oral, which is out of your mouth and not into your ears. So whatever, I'm talking about into your ears. So deal with that.
They will stimulate your ears.
Anyway, thanks for listening. And Seth, thanks for being here.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, this is Brian, and I'm just checking in again to say Denny's question today was a serious one, and if anybody is struggling with alcohol abuse or any substance addiction, please get the help that you need. It's not always possible, or it's not always easy to do the work all on your own, and there are many, many different paths to sobriety or to getting out from underneath that addiction. So please seek out the help that you need and reach out even here. We can try and send you to someplace helpful, but just make sure that you're getting the help that you need because it's not always possible to do it on your own. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week.